chapter 2 and verse 14. And your testimonies this morning actually confirm this verse of Scripture. Not that it needs confirming, because God said it, that settles it, and that's all the confirmation we need, is that just settles it. When he speaks, that's it. He said, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." Two areas I'd like to talk about. First off, it says now. God is a now God. We don't have to be all that concerned about what he's going to do, what he might do. It's what he has done and what he's doing right now in our midst. But it says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." You can't fail with Christ. If you fail, it wasn't him. If I fail, that wasn't him. Because he has equipped every single one of us to win in this life. We don't have to wait until we cross the river and get to the other side before we learn how to win. The Word of God is clearly a revelation of God's will for our lives, and it's to prosper us, to bless us, to heal us, to deliver us, to give us life, to give us hope, to give us freedom, to give us encouragement. Everything that God is here in his Word. And if it says, always causes us to triumph, don't worry about whether you're going to win or lose. The Bible says you win. And you might. Yesterday I was out here raking leaves, and I told Faith, I says, for just a few seconds, I know where it came from, but I don't know why it came. Was all of a sudden, just a few minutes, I felt really discouraged. And I don't know, maybe because every rake full of leaves I raked up, the wind blew away three. I don't know. It's kind of one of those silly things about this time of the year. You wait for a sunny day to rake leaves and the wind's blowing. But it kind of illustrated a spiritual thing too. All the things that we fret and fuss over, well, maybe some of those things we just need to let them blow away. I don't know. But I said, that's not healthy. That is not good to be entertaining those kind of thoughts. And I just said, I just bring those thoughts into obedience and subject to Christ right now in the name of Jesus. And it was gone. Because in all things, he says, he causes us to triumph always, that in all ways. And then, and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Everywhere we go as believers, we bring a fragrance. We bring a scent like perfume. Everywhere we go, and we bring the opportunity for people to know Christ. Now, the enemy wants us to not smell so good, but this is a spiritual kind of sense. When we bring the good news, when Tom went to London, there was a fragrance of the Holy Spirit that went with him. Everywhere you go, when you go to your workplace, you bring the fragrance of Christ. To your families, when you're visiting, in relationships and workplaces, and everywhere we go, we bring his fragrance, because we go there under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. And try as hard as you might, you're not going to keep God from going where you go. How can you do that? How can any of us do that? And to become aware of his presence is going to make us come to that place where we're never alone. We don't have to worry about being lonely. We don't have to be sad, bummed out, broke, busted, and disgusted every day of our lives. God has filled us with his presence. You're wall-to-wall God inside. Every one of you is a believer. How can you have a bad day? Knowing who's on your side. Knowing who's inside. Knowing who has a wonderful plan for our lives. And someone who loved you enough that he gave his life for each one of us. How can we have a bad day? It's we always win. I like that. I like winning. And even Paul said that he said to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. And I heard a long time ago, well, there's only one good fight, and that's the one you win. It's not a good fight if you didn't win. But knowing that in Christ, he always causes us to triumph. So if you didn't hear any other good news this morning, hear what the Lord spoke through all these testimonies and through this word. In you is the greatest winner of all, and that's Jesus Christ, and you're a winner with him. Well, this morning, and for I don't know how many weeks to continue, maybe when the new leaves are back on the trees in the spring, I don't know, we might be finished with this, but I want to reintroduce a teaching I brought in 2009 called Fail-Proof Living. Fail-proof living is the master's plan for our lives. To be able to come to that place in your faith as you grow and mature, where we're not going to have to keep falling into a pit before we learn not to fall into a pit. The Word of God is like a map through the minefields of life. If you steer off to the left, well, we did that with Kenny's feet last week. It was kind of a quick little introduction to this. But without failing, I can't tell you in the course of ministry how many times I've prayed with so many people that they said they fail God, that God is disappointed with them, and they just can't seem to get it in the mindset of pleasing him, no matter what they do or how hard they try. And that's probably true for a lot of us that maybe have entertained those thoughts at times, that we let God down. But that's not where this teaching is going, actually, because God lifts us up. When we look like we failed him, we have to separate how we looked at maybe the way we failed people in our lives and let them down. But since God knows the end from the beginning, and he still called you to himself, he was willing to take the chance. Do you think for 1 minute you caught him off guard and woke him up in the middle of the night and says, I can't believe they did that. Those little rascals? No, because he doesn't slumber and he doesn't sleep. So where we're going with this is we're going to go to 2 Peter. And today, this is going to be the introduction. So there might be weeks during the course of this teaching that you might miss a Sunday. Please make sure that you get all of the CDs of these services, because it's really important that you don't miss any in between. Those of you that hardly are not here, you're going to be able to track right along, and sometimes things happen during a service and that might get broken a little bit for that week. But nevertheless, this is going to be a very in-depth teaching, and I really trust it will be a blessing and help many of you through the minefields of life. So we're going to start. I'm just going to read the first 10 verses of chapter 1 of 2 Peter, because these are the base scriptures that we're going to springboard from. And it's a wonderful revelation that the Holy Spirit gave Peter. And you'll see that by the time we get to the end. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. And I love the fact that he put who he was above his title. What a word to the church. A servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as his divine has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, in all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance or self-control, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things do and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and far off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old ways, his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now, probably most of you remember when the disciples were crossing the sea and they saw Jesus walking on the water and they thought it was a ghost. And Peter stood up in the boat and said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come on the water. And Jesus said, it is I. And Peter gets out of the boat and he starts walking on the water. And then he got his eyes onto the circumstances rather than on the Lord. And the Bible says he began to sink. Peter knew about failure. Peter knew a lot about the sea as a fisherman. He got chastised about fishing all night and hadn't caught anything. Pay attention, Genevieve. We're going to talk about fishing. You got to put bait on the hook. But he came back and he was cleaning and folding up his nets, and Jesus told him to go back out. You're not done. But Lord, I've fished all night. I'm tired and I didn't catch anything. And basically, Jesus said, well, the problem was is you threw the net on the wrong side of the boat. But Lord, no, Peter, the other side of the boat. He threw the net over there and they caught so many fish that it took all the other boats around them to bring in all the catch, lest they lose some. So he knew about failure, but he also knew about this thing that keeping your eyes on the Lord, doing what he says to do, is going to profit you greatly. And so here we have several truths here that help us come into this teaching. When I started the scriptures off this morning, that God always causes us to triumph in Christ, that was kind of a springboard into this teaching, because if you already know in the beginning, no matter what kind of a mess we find ourselves in, if we will persist, we're going to win. Verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us. This is really important, because if any of you were good at English in school, you know that has means something that's happened in the past. It's already been done. Now, if it's already been done, then it might be a good idea to move on in your prayer life and quit asking God for the things that he's already done. There's a lot more things that, you know, you can seek him for, but this is what he's done. Has given unto us all things that pertain to life. If I stopped right there and just let you think a few minutes, that God already has given us all things that pertain to life. Think of all the aspects of life. Your physical life, your mental life, your spiritual life, your financial life, your home life, your work life, your relationships life. All things that pertain to life, he's already given it to us. That's a whole bunch to swallow right there. And if you just made a list, go home this week and just make a list and think of all the things that pertain to your life, and then underneath it make that list and take that off your prayer list, because God has already given you all those things. But he didn't stop there. He said, and godliness or godlikeness. over the course of years in ministry, it's so many times prevalent that, well, be careful how I say this, or mindful, people struggle and strive with living godly lives. And they struggle trying to be something instead of just being it. And I like to use this example of a bank account. You pick your favorite bank. And so I come along, and this is my vision. Okay? This is Rick, not the Lord. This is Rick. I come along and I say, oh, you're a little short in funds. Let me put a little money in your bank account. And so I'm feeling especially generous and blessed that day, and I pop $100,000 into your checking account. That'll get you started. Okay? And then every day, you find that your bills are getting behind, and you're going to secondhand shops to buy clothes and buying all clunkers for cars, and you know, you keep just going on like it always was, and then finally we have your funeral and it costs $7,000 and you get Rick to come and do your service. And the testimony is they died poor because they never wrote a check. If you really could grasp the reality of this truth, you would never think another day in your life that you can't make it, you can't do it, you can't accomplish, you can't. My Bible says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He always causes me to triumph in Christ. I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loved me and gave himself for me. Feelings don't have anything to do with that. I don't feel like reading my Bible today, but does that annul what's written? Maybe you wake up and say, well, I don't feel like reading it today either, but it doesn't change what's written. And some people maybe have never really taken the time to study the promises of God that he's made for you and I, the provisions that are made already in Christ. Oh yeah, that's another really nifty scripture. That all of the promises in Christ are yes and amen. You're never going to get a no. You're never going to get a maybe. And God says, well, you were late for church this week. Scratch that promise off my list. You got a D in Sunday school. There's another mark against you. Oh yes. And you missed Bible study Tuesday night too. Boy, you're in really deep trouble now. That's my funny Bible that tells you those things. I have to bring it once in a while so that you look at the words. No, it doesn't say that, Rick. This is what it says. And you say, oh yeah, that's like putting your net down on the right side of the boat. Changing the way we think about ourselves, about what people say about us, about what they think about us. Man, I jumped ship 31 years ago. I don't care anymore. What I care about is what God says. That's the thing I'm really after. Because all my life, I was just like you. People told me stuff. People lied to me. People took advantage. People made shipwreck of a lot of things in my life that I was so upset and so angry. I had all of that stuff down on the inside of me before I got saved. And I'll tell you, you talk about a landfill dump, that's where the cross came in handy in my life because I made a huge deposit. Tyler would have been pleased to see all the things. I says, no, Tyler, I don't want to recycle any of this stuff. I just want to dump it. It's not worth recycling. And yet sometimes people do that with their past. They want to keep recycling it. Put a different spin on it. Well, you know what? You don't have to worry about your past anymore. With God, it's all gone. It's under the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you want to learn to win in life, these are some things that we have to come to terms with. Number one, if you aren't willing to stop certain behavior, maybe you smoke, I don't know. It's none of my business. But if you did, and then you end up at Dartmouth with big spots of cancer in your lungs, and they said, you need to stop smoking. Now, ain't gonna do that. Man, I saw one guy that was so bad, his throat was all butchered, his voice box was taken out, and he had this little hole in his neck right here, and he'd put his cigarette right there. And I know this because I painted his ceiling. He would sit in his chair and smoke cigarettes through that little hole right here. You know that little hole they put in you when you don't have a voice box anymore? Yeah. And he was still smoking right there. And I had to paint his ceiling over his chair in his house. He used to like to do puzzles, jigsaw puzzles, and he would bring puzzles over to our house. And I'd see him sitting out in his car. If you're not willing to change some things, then more than likely, you're going to see the same results day in, day out, week after week, month after month, and year after year. We can't keep doing the same things and expecting a different result. If we want to learn to walk in this kind of life, Jesus said, I came that you have life and that you have it more abundantly. Abundance, great, but more is better. And we're not, I've been accused of blab it and grab it, name it and claim it, and that's me. If I see it in the Word, I'm going to take it. God's not stingy. It says he gave them to me. Why would I not want something that God has for me? Oh, I'm not worthy. Well, let's settle that deal too. How can you tell God you're not worthy? Look at what he paid for you. How can you ever say that again, that you're not worthy of God's blessing? Look at what he paid for you, for your life. The value and the worth that you have to him. Don't see yourself like that anymore. If you only knew the things that God has prepared for those who love him, and he reveals them to us by his Spirit. Peter didn't know all these things either. He was just a fisherman. What does he know? But look at what the Lord showed him. Look at this revelation. Number two, if you're not willing to let go of your past with all of its hurts. That's a real biggie. Sometimes people walk around and all they see is their past. And do you know how easy it is to let it go? Just like that. But it feels good to hold on to it, don't it, sometimes? Because then you have an excuse. See, I don't have to measure up because this is what happened to me when I was a child. And you go to secular psychologists and they just want to pump the drugs to you, pump the pills to you. Every month they give you your little prescription, your little happy pill. And then you come back and they charge you $100 next month, and next month, and next month, and next month, and it never ends. Because first they want to program you. Oh, this is the way you are because of this is what happened. You can never be this because of this. You need to throw that. And if you never have, you need to do it today. Because you're never going to get all the fullness of this teaching until you come to terms. It's over. With Christ. Did you know you died the day you received Christ? I knew I died. I went to my own funeral. That was awesome. Because I got resurrected within minutes. And so did you. To walk in newness of life. There's the old man. He died with Christ. There's the new man. He lives with Christ. The old man died with his past. The new man was born again to walk in the blessings and favor of God and the new life that he's given you. We used to walk according to our flesh and our lusts and our thoughts and everything that the mind controlled. That's the problem. The head has always been boss. Whatever the mind says, yep, we'll do that. Feels good, do it. The flesh, the mind, that was all part of the old man. But when we get saved, now we have a whole new life. Don't let the old wreck the new. And I only say that because if you knew the thousands of people I've prayed for, that it was something in their past. And the third thing is we pick this green thing up over here, because along with the past, the key to breaking free from it is through forgiveness. Forgiveness never says that something that was done wrong against you was okay. Forgiveness never says it's okay. It just simply means that the people that you won't forgive are always controlling you. Their deeds are still in your mind. Their deeds are still in your heart. You always, every time you see them, there's tension in the atmosphere. Because you go on, because you remember what they did. You remember what they said. And holding unforgiveness, if you're a believer, holding unforgiveness will never break you free. You'll always be bound to the person you won't forgive, and they will always control your life, and they will control your destiny as long as you harbor unforgiveness against another person. So if you really want to get into this life that Peter's about to talk about, these three areas are really important to settle. And that's why this is just an introduction. This is just getting started. This is just getting our feet to the edge of the river. So these three things, stopping certain things in your life that are displeasing, they don't produce any fruit for God. They produce fruit, but it's not good fruit. And if you're not willing to let go of your past with all its hurts, let's look at Philippians chapter 3. I won't be too long here this morning, because then it'll be afternoon, and then I might go another 2 or 3 hours. So you visitors better watch out. Lock the door, Tom. Oh, Lord, what are we doing? Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And you talk about a character with a... This is Paul, the Apostle Paul, right in the middle of this letter to the church at Philippi. He said these words, "Brethren," in verse 13, "I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Did you know that it was the Apostle Paul that was the garment of Stephen when Stephen was stoned to death for testifying of Christ? It was Paul. Saul of Tarsus. It was Saul who had Christians taken off to Damascus and thrown in prison and beaten and tortured and humiliated and persecuted for their faith in Christ. And here all of a sudden, the people are going to say, "Oh, you just washed your hands of all of that." No. The blood of Jesus Christ washed Paul and made him brand new. The regeneration of the Holy Ghost. And you think you don't have a chance? You think you have a past? You might think, and our internet audience that's going to hear these CDs, you think that there's no hope for you? That you can't change? That you can't enjoy a new life? Why would a person want to stay any longer in the past? I can't answer that. I could only answer for me, because it felt good and I did it. There, I said it. That's the real truth. I liked me just the way I was, and I didn't want no Christian in my face messing with me. Had my bag of dope, good nighttime job, I could go to work stoned, I worked on golf courses, I could have the best of both worlds. Get out of my face, all you Christians, all you little Jesus people. I even said his name. Yeah, that was me. I haven't always been like this. But I got a hold of this truth. I learned to separate the old from the new, and I didn't have any of that stuff to drag into my new walk with Christ, because I settled it right there, that right within minutes. All that bitterness and meanness and unforgiveness I had towards people, and strife and anger. I had a whole list of all these people that if I could ever get near them with that baseball bat, I went over to North Walpole one time to bust the kneecaps of somebody that messed with my girlfriend in Ballast Falls, and that was even before I knew Faith. Used to drink Boone's Farms apple wine, do a hit of acid, and go do damage to somebody. That's not good. That gets you in a whole bunch of trouble. But I'm not ashamed because I know what it was, and I know who I was, and now that's not the same. And I am not ashamed to share parts of my life with any of you or even total strangers, because I bring the fragrance of Christ to the person who wants to hear some good news. That might have been what I used to be, but I don't wallow in it anymore. This is who Christ has transformed my life into. And I'll tell you, if there's hope for me, there's plenty of hope for you. And people that you may know that are still where they're at and you'd like to see them change. One of the best things you can do is live your changed life in front of them openly. Don't try to hide it. If they got a problem with it, too bad. It's just like swatting a fly. Boom. Lay hands on them. Violently, if necessary. Ooh. Oh, man. There he goes. Which way did he go, George? Wow. Changed. Transformed. Renewed. We're not who we used to be. And so these are just little tidbits that if we're willing, we can go into the next segments and we can start talking about what it means. Taking responsibility for our lives. No more blaming others. Wow. Well, that's one of the first things that happens when I step between... I really don't like to do this. I'm surprised there's not any big holes smashed in my office wall out into the sanctuary. Some of the people I've sat between. Because one of the first things that happens in marriage counseling is the husband beats up the wife and the wife beats up the husband. Because they're looking for someone to sit in between. And I have to give them that opportunity. I said, there, now that you've got that all out of your system, now we can get on to building some things back into your life. And it's the same with the Lord. We have to take responsibility for our own mistakes and sins. We can't blame anybody else. We can't pull that little deal, the devil made me do it, and pull the Flip Wilson thing. The devil made me do it. Why'd you let him? If you knew it was him, why did you let him? Anyway, we've died through coming to Christ, and we live through Christ. And now our purpose is like Paul, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. There is a prize, calling of God in each one of our lives. And that's what we press forward to. That's where all the focus should be. It should not be looking back. It should always be looking forward. Because that's our call. God has a purpose and a plan for every one of us. And it sure is a whole lot better than anything I had planned. My retirement was going to be some old shack in the woods and lots of pot growing around. Now that's almost come to pass. It's legal in Vermont now. I got a house instead of an old shack in the woods. I feel rich. Now I have a mansion made. I have a mansion prepared in glory. I have a nice house now. So do you. You can see that God has began some things in your life, but there's still so many more yet to be fulfilled. It's not our time to go yet. If it were, we wouldn't be here. We'd have gone. There's still time. There's still time to see changes. There's still time to see bad situations turned around. But until they do, what about us as a person? Well, God is working in our lives and equipped us and prepared us that we can win. Don't go to a tattoo shop and get that skull and crossbones that says born to lose. I saw a lot of those in the military. That was one of the first tattoos all my GI friends went. They went down and got a tattoo, born to lose. I never had a tattoo, but if I had one now, I'd go get one with a picture of Christ that says, born again to win. That would be my tattoo if I were to get one. But I don't need one, because I've already been marked with the Holy Spirit, and so have you. The devil knows who you are. And every time he rises up over you, he's usurping his authority that he has none over you. And you're going to learn all these things are going to be intertwined in this teaching. And we'll be starting with add to your faith. We're going to start with where faith comes from and how your life now is built on faith, which is in the Word of God, which is in Christ. And we're going to add to that. And Peter lays out a series of things as part of our foundation to build on, that we can come to that place where we will never fall. And he didn't say once in a while if you didn't get any sleep last night. He said never. I want to reach the never part. Do you? Amen. Only two? Y'all there already? Wow, y'all been teaching me. I'll give you my notes. Now, this is going to be really good. I'm excited about doing this. It's been years, and there's a lot of new faces. Some of the ones that were here when I did this, you know who you are, and you should be grown to that point where you already almost can know what's going to be coming next. And I like that, because it shows me that you take these words to heart, and when you go home, if you'll apply them, you'll be amazed at how quick they work. It's like a lot of people used to eat Wheaties for breakfast. Wheaties, the breakfast of champions. Change it to Jesus. Jesus is the breakfast of real champions.